We ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
You are now on the clock with Matt Geiger on Ignotainment Media Network.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning into the You're on the Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger, joined by always in studio, coming to you live from the armpit of New Jersey, my co-host, Iron Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Doing well, thank you.
All right, we're coming to you live September 1st at 2:20 in the morning. This is now our fourth attempt at doing this. Fourth time's the charm, right? We decided that we couldn't cram the entire NFL draft into one episode, so we're going to give you two, and we're going to start with the NFC today. But before we do that, we want to say thank you guys for listening. Last week was a huge success. We want to keep it going, and we need you to follow us on social media. You can get the Facebook for the podcast on Facebook. It's called You're on the Clock, and then on Twitter, at You're on the Clock. That's YOURE for the illiterate people.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_Geiger. And you can find Iron Mike on Twitter at @Iron_Mike_NJ. Can you make that any harder?
Well, I really didn't want to, but Iron Mike was taken. Probably by Mike Tyson.
I was going to ask who. Real quick, before we get into the NFL draft, which is what we're going to be talking about in the next two episodes, we have some quick NFL injuries and notes. Most importantly, let's start with some cuts that happened earlier today. Tim Jennings was cut by the Bears. Surprising, but probably more of a cap casualty than anything. Also, Joique Bell and Haloti Ngata have both been activated by the Lions. Something to keep an eye on, especially with Joique Bell moving into the regular season. We're going to cut right into NFL injuries, starting in St. Louis, where Trey Mason has a hamstring injury. He's now listed as questionable for the season opener against Seattle.
Who would start there if he's not ready to go?
Well, Gurley
is not playing.
I don't think he's going to play. If he does, they really don't want to give him a ton of carries. I think Benny Cunningham becomes the guy because Trey Watts is another guy that they have who's suspended.
All right.
Then we jump over to Washington, where Robert Griffin III had a concussion. I'm wondering if he had a concussion when he told a bunch of reporters that he was the best quarterback in the league. That just boggles my mind. That leads to more news coming from Washington, where Kirk Cousins has been named a starter for week one. There's a lot of stuff going on with the quarterback situation there, so keep your eyes peeled on that. San Francisco 49ers linebacker Ahmad Brooks is out for an undisclosed amount of time with personal issues. We're also going to Philadelphia, where Lane Johnson has a knee injury. He is listed as week to week. I don't see that being a reason of concern in Philly. Johnson's been banged up more last year than anything else, but he's a tough guy. Green Bay Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb had a shoulder injury, which was a real scare for Packers fans. There was no break. It was an ACL sprain.
No, it's a minor AC joint sprain.
AC joint sprain. Your ACL's in your knee, not your shoulder. So I'm an idiot.
Correct.
Dallas cornerback Orlando Scandrick. This happened literally after we recorded the podcast last week. Tore his ACL in practice. Also, Chicago safety Ryan Mundy has a hip injury. I'm not sure what it was, but they're saying he's out for the season. Also, rookie defensive tackle in Chicago Eddie Goldman has a concussion. He's going through concussion protocol. That's all we got for injuries. We do have one more note before we jump into the draft. That is
the Julio Jones extension.
I just got home from work. I don't know what you're talking about. So enlighten me, sir. While you're doing that, I'll talk about Trent Williams' extension. Trent Williams, the offensive tackle from the Washington Redskins, got a 5-year extension. It makes him the highest paid player in the league. Highest paid offensive tackle in the league. Very good player. I met him in person. Nice guy. Big dude. And that should keep him there, I would think, for the longevity of his NFL career. Mike is pulling up Julio Jones' contract. It's a 5-year, $71.25 million deal. Is that an extension on top of...
5-year contract extension.
I can't read that far. Okay, so it's a pretty big deal for Julio.
47.5 guaranteed.
That's huge. And that locks the 26-year-old Julio Jones up well into his... into the depth of his NFL career. So with that said, congratulations, Julio Jones. We're jumping into the draft right now, and we're starting in the NFC West, where I get to talk about my lovely St. Louis Rams. Before we jump in, if you guys want to look at any of my recaps or breakdowns for specific teams, divisions, you could check it out at the MG Football. ball.blogspot.com. I have breakdowns for all 32 teams. Good picks, bad picks, underrated picks, stuff like that. So go check it out. And let's jump in, Mike. What do we got with St. Louis?
Well, obviously they drafted Todd Gurley, who's a little banged up in the first round. 10th overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of scouts are saying Todd Gurley had the physical skills and capabilities of a guy like Adrian Peterson coming out of college, which is why he was, you know, rated so high, and which is why he got drafted so high. It's a little bit of a surprise for me to see St. Louis take a running back. They had a lot of other issues, but they did address the offensive line for a majority of the draft. I think they went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of their 9 picks on offense, and out of those 7, 1, 2, 4 offensive linemen drafted. They also took Bud Sasser from Missouri, who had a heart condition and wasn't able to play. He now works in their front office, which I thought was pretty cool. They pick up quarterback Sean Mannion from Oregon State in the 3rd round. He's been playing good in the preseason. They're not rushing him onto the field, especially with that Nick Foles extension that they just handed out. Seattle Seahawks, we're going to move to next. Seattle traded away their first round pick to obtain Jimmy Graham from the New Orleans Saints. So they didn't have their first round pick. They select Frank Clark from Michigan, defensive lineman, with their 2nd round pick. And this guy might not even play in the league. He's got a lot of off the field shit going on. And literally, I would not be surprised if he didn't see a single snap.
Yeah, he had some issues going with Philip Rivers over the weekend. I didn't read much into it. Didn't really care for it, but, you know, like Matt said, off-field issues, no good.
Also, in round 3, they selected wide receiver Tyler Lockett from Kansas State. The kid's a burner. If you haven't seen him on the field in Seattle, I suggest you take a look at the punt return he had over the weekend. Pretty dynamic player. They need some guy with speed. They want somebody that they can rely on in their receiving core. And it seems to be that the only person they think they could trust besides Jimmy Graham is Doug Baldwin. So they bring in Lockett. Hopefully he can make a difference for them. No real news in the draft aside from those two guys in Seattle. Seattle tends to do things a little different. They draft defensive players, switch them to offense, switch offensive players to defense. So most of the guys that they take are work-in-progress type players, and they have a pretty good system going there. That's how it works. Now we're moving.
San Fran.
The 49ers. After losing so many guys, you really have to have a good draft, and I think San Fran did a decent job.
Yeah, they picked up Eric Armstead, somebody we talked about last week.
That I'm not too big on. But they also take Jaquiski Tartt, who is a safety from Samford. I don't necessarily see why they needed a safety. They have Antoine Bethea and Eric Reed.
Eric Reed's pretty good.
Bethea was an all-pro, I think, last year, if not very close to it. But he's a little older, so maybe groom Tartt to replace Bethea.
Yeah, you have to remember they're bringing in a totally, you know, not totally new staff. A lot of guys in-house, but it is a new staff with Harborough gone.
Yeah, they also take Eli Harold in the third round, a guy that I was pretty high on out of Virginia. Very good pass rusher. We talked about the whole Aldon Smith situation, and apparently if Ahmad Brooks is going to be out for some time, they need somebody who's going to get to the pass to the quarterback. Eli Harold could be that guy. I guess we could really, really have to wait and see on that. They take Mike Davis, running back from South Carolina, with their fourth round pick. He's a guy that might be a developmental type player. You want to keep an eye out, but that's a name you're going to want to listen for, you know, a little bit down the road. Speaking of down the road, traveling down to Arizona, what do we got, Iron Mike?
Hi, Jess. We got DJ Humphreys in the first round. Humphreys had a rough night Sunday night. Khalil Mack made him look pretty silly, but Khalil Mack's a really good player.
Khalil Mack's going to make everybody look silly. DJ Humphreys, I was pretty high on him.
He's big dude.
What is he, 6'5", 307?
Yeah.
And do they have his 40 time up there?
No.
He seems like a very agile guy. He's light on his feet. He can move, good in pass and run protection. He's going to be a good addition for them. I'm not sure if he's playing left or right tackle.
Left.
He's playing left tackle right out the gate.
He played left tackle Sunday night.
Okay. It's going to be important for him to learn the game quick, especially with a guy like Mike Iupati out, their newly acquired guard. They might have some struggles, and they need to keep Carson Palmer protected. We have David Johnson from Northern Illinois, was a third-round running back out of Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
He is a dynamic-type player. He's a three-down player. He can catch the ball a little bit. He's a hard runner. He's really going to push Ellington for playing time. And if Ellington doesn't prove that he could play on all three downs, I could see him stealing the job by the end of the year.
That's what they really need. They need somebody behind Ellington to push him to get some production out of him because they didn't get it last year.
They also later pick that could be interesting is wide receiver J.J. Nelson from UAB. He's only 5'10". He only weighs 156, but he's got some jets on him. And with some injuries to some of the receivers, I know Michael Floyd is banged up.
He's got some finger issues. He's got some issues with the ribs or something you were saying.
I was wrong on that. But he does have, I think, broken fingers.
Yes. He's going to miss
A couple weeks. If a guy like J.J. Nelson could step in and be a dynamic playmaker, he could earn some more time on the field when Floyd gets healthy. Also, Marcus Golden was a second-round defensive end taken out of Missouri. He played opposite side of Shane Ray. I think he could develop into a nice player. It's going to take a little time, but they like something they saw from him if they took him in the second round. I had him as a little bit later of a pick.
Next up, we're going to Tampa Bay. Obviously, Jameis Winston was the number one pick in the entire draft.
Tampa Bay followed the pick of Winston up with the second-round pick of Donovan Smith, who I thought would start his career out playing right tackle, but because of some injuries along the line, he's probably going to start the season out at left tackle. He's coming out of Penn State. He's 6'6", 338 pounds. Try moving that guy. And in that division, without too many good pass rushers, he could be on Winston's blind side for some time.
No, Atlanta doesn't have anybody that rushes. Carolina lost Greg Hardy. And
New Orleans cut Junior Gallet.
Yeah.
Who's not playing right now because he tore his Achilles. So, you know, a guy like Donovan Smith could prove to be a valuable asset for this team. They also, with another pick in the second round, took Ali Marpet from Hobart and William Smith College. Who, he's a small school player, but he's a big dude, 6'4", 307 pounds. They liked what they saw from him. He was drafted as a center, but they've been trying to play him at different spots on the offensive line. They want to see where he fits best. They want him to learn the playbook, the game. They're not going to rush him onto the field. He's primarily a backup at this point, but he's a name that could be interesting in the future. They also take wide receiver Kenny Bell from Nebraska. He was a great player in college. The problem is they have some depth at receiver, believe it or not, aside from just Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. They have some other guys there that could be valuable pieces.
Is Mike Williams still there?
I think he is, which is why I would say he had some depth. We're going to forget about wide receiver depth in Tampa Bay for right now, and we're going to go to the New Orleans Saints, and we're moving at a pretty good pace here. So when we get to the Saints, which is right now...
You're going
to
go on the clock, aren't you?
I'm going on the clock. And in case you guys don't know what this is, Iron Mike's going to time me for about 5 minutes because something pissed me off and I want to talk about it.
Yeah, I just caught this. The whole on the clock gist, the name of the podcast. I just got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of goes with it, right?
It goes with it, yeah, sure.
Maybe the nice people at Ignotainment could cut us up together a little drop for that. We'll see how that works. Thanks, Chris. So here's my issue with the terrible, terrible New Orleans Saints of recent. Because it wasn't too long ago that they won a Super Bowl. But that team doesn't look like this team. And I don't know what the front office was thinking. They didn't want to pay Jimmy Graham the money he was asking for. So they trade him for a first-round pick, which inevitably winds up being the 31st overall pick, which they knew going into the draft that they were getting the 31st overall pick, okay? With their own pick, 13th overall in the first round, they take Andrews Pete, the tackle from Stanford. Not necessarily a need, but pretty good pick nonetheless. They could have gone some other places. They had some things they could have addressed. Maybe taken a defensive back, maybe wide receiver, something like that. They're pretty thin at receiver after getting rid of Kenny Stills. These idiots follow that pickup, and at pick 31, they take who, Mike?
Stephon Anthony.
Yeah,
but you're still on the clock, so you got to pound these guys out.
Here's my problem, okay? Stephon Anthony, the linebacker from Clemson, was not a first-round pick. So you trade away a guy like Jimmy Graham, who is, what, the second-best tight end in the league, arm and a leg above a lot of guys, pro bowler, okay? You trade that guy away, and you get back a first-round draft pick, and you waste it on a guy that I had a fourth-round draft grade on, okay? Read off their next three picks.
That name's got your name on it.
Oh, yeah. I'm not pronouncing this is one that I got to get. Holowi Kakaha, outside linebacker from Washington, okay? Then in the third round, they take Garrett Grayson, quarterback from Colorado State. And with another pick in the third round, they take P.J. Williams, cornerback from Florida State. So I just listed three guys, correct?
Correct.
Kakaha, Grayson, and P.J. Williams, all of whom could have gotten drafted before Stephon Anthony, and the Saints could have taken him in the late third, early fourth, whatever pick they had at that point. Why waste a pick on a guy that you can get later in the draft? There was three or four inside linebackers that I think are better than Stephon Anthony. How do you even spell his name? That's garbage. Who puts an E at the end of Stephon? More importantly, guys like Benardrick McKinney, Paul Dawson, who's the other guy from Miami? I want to look at this. I know what team he wound up on.
Well, either way, I'm going to try and defend the Saints here a little bit.
Denzel Perriman from Miami. All those guys were better than Stephon Anthony. And I don't see why you reach for a guy when you just traded one of the best players in the league. You inherit a center in the trade, Max Unger.
Which connects to their first pick, Andrus Peat. That kind of makes some sense. Drew Brees is getting down towards the end of his career. They have Mark Ingram. Maybe they want to turn more into a running team than they have been in the past, building an offensive line, grabbing some guys on defense.
Listen, and that's good and fine, but that still doesn't answer my question as to what the hell are you doing taking Stephon Anthony with the 31st overall pick when you probably could have got him with, let's see, pick 78, pick 75, maybe even pick 148, where they take Davis Tull, outside linebacker from Tennessee Chattanooga. I'm just, my gripe with New Orleans, and then we're going to move on, is don't waste your picks. Make them worth something, especially when you're giving away a guy like Jimmy Graham. Yeah. They literally just handed Seattle a top-tier talent and got nothing in return.
But they got Max Unger. He's good.
All right, I'm off the clock.
He's a good run block.
I'm off the clock with New Orleans. They can have Katrina or whatever.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Let's go to Carolina. Carolina, in the first round, take outside linebacker Shaq Thompson. And I've been talking to Mike about this kid for a while. He's a freak athlete. He went to Washington. He played three different positions. He played linebacker, safety, and running back. Excelled at all of them. He could probably play any of the three in the pros. More importantly, he's playing linebacker. He's going to be opposite
Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis.
Yes, Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis.
Two good linebackers.
They could wind up with the best linebacking core in the NFL if Thompson pans out to be the first-round talent that Carolina thinks he could be. Eventually, you could see him, or maybe even earlier in his career, you could see him transition playing in-box safety, which is something unique that they could do. They could bring an extra linebacker
on the
field.
Carolina does do that from time to time as well.
They can add an extra linebacker and put Thompson as an in-box safety and drop him back into coverage. It gives them a lot of different exotic looks that they could use. They also take, and this is an important pick, especially now with Kelvin Benjamin being hurt, in the second round, Devin Funchess from Michigan. He was a hybrid receiver tight end in college. And like we said, with Kelvin Benjamin being out, he's the number one receiver now.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he has a realistic chance at doing similar to what Benjamin did in his rookie year. He's a big boy, just like Kelvin was.
I don't see him dropping as many passes. I think he had the highest drop percentage out of all the rookies in that upper elite level. Guys like, you know, aside from Kelvin Benjamin, Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, anybody else I'm missing from that? From last year?
No, nobody of importance.
All right, so the last person we'll talk about in Carolina is their fifth-round pick. It was a compensatory selection. Cameron Artis Payne, the running back from Auburn. This is important because if Jonathan Stewart goes down, this is the guy that's going to take over. They don't have D'Angelo Williams there anymore. Artis Payne is your typical Carolina running back. He's a downhill runner. He runs like a wrecking ball. And he's not afraid to put his nose into the pile and drive himself through.
Even if Stewart stays healthy the whole year, you're going to see a lot of pain this year.
Stewart has some tread on his tires. He is a little injury prone. He did play 14 games last year, I think. So, you know, I guess if they don't want to wear the tread too thin on him, and if they plan on being in the playoffs, which I don't really see anymore, I don't think they could do much
in Carolina.
In Carolina,
They have a shot, I would say, to win the division. Anybody does this year.
That offensive line is awful, though.
I know.
Cam Newton's going to take some bumps.
You know, when we were talking about Tampa Bay, you know, we said nobody can get to the quarterback in that division. So,
well, that's right. But a lot of the times, it's not necessarily division games that could cost you. It could be out of division games, and they have a tough schedule.
They could make the playoffs at 7-9 in that division.
Yeah, I mean, anybody could, but I don't think anybody has repeated as consecutive champions in like 10-12 years.
In that division?
In that division.
Maybe not.
I'm almost positive about that. Let's keep going to another team that could win the division. We could have said that four times in a row. The Atlanta Falcons. They had the 8th overall pick, and they haven't had a pass rush in a long time. When Corey Bierman's your best pass rusher, you need some help. So they go out and they take Vic Beasley from Clemson. He's probably going to be a situational pass rusher. Just until he becomes more accustomed to the game. He doesn't necessarily have the size that you're looking for, but he has a really high motor. He doesn't give up on plays. You're not going to see him slacking off. He knows how to get to the quarterback. He uses his body well. He's got good technique. I'm very excited to see what he does. I could see him with double-digit sacks his rookie year. It's going to be interesting to see what they do.
You said they're
going to
use him kind of like Bruce Arian, right?
Right, because Dan Quinn, the former Seahawks defensive coordinator, is now the head coach in Atlanta. He loves having guys like this that are versatile, that can move around a little bit. Until he really learns the ins and outs of the Dan Quinn defense, like I said, he'll be primarily a pass rusher. Expect to see big sack numbers from him because, like I said, they're going to try to use him like Dan Quinn used Bruce Irvin. They also get Jalen Collins from LSU in the second round. He's probably going to be a starter, just because their secondary is pretty weak. I couldn't even tell you the rest of the cornerbacks on that team, so I'm going to look them up. But Collins is a quick kid. He posted pretty good numbers at the combine. And like I said, if you can't name the cornerbacks on that team, and I'm looking at them now, and I know one, Desmond Trufant. The other one is Robert Alford, whom I have no idea who he is. The last I heard of him, he had a decent preseason last year. So Collins is going to get some rep. If not at the second corner, he's probably going to play nickel. The more intriguing pick is the third round running back from Indiana, Tevin Coleman. Great running back. I thought he was awesome in college. You watch some of his film and he looks amazing. He had a little bit of a hamstring issue, but Devonta Freeman also does as well. I think it turns out to be whoever's healthy first. And if Devonta Freeman's not on the field before him, I don't think Devonta Freeman ever gets a chance at that job. Coleman is a better runner. He can catch the ball. He's going to make plays for them. And it's nice to have a kid like that next to Matt Ryan, especially when your line is that bad.
Yeah, their line's pretty terrible. I don't think it's going to have much to do with...
I think Jake Matthews is the
who
only...
Who gets on the field first.
Jake Matthews is the only player on that offensive line that deserves to be in the NFL.
He had a rough year last year, too, though.
But that comes... You know, the bumps and bruises come with being a young player, especially if there's nobody on your team to help you out. The one notable pick in the later rounds, I'll say, was Grady Jarrett from Clemson. He's a defensive lineman. We touched on this two of the four times we recorded earlier. There was a late push for defensive linemen because there weren't so many or defensive tackles because there weren't so many selected earlier in the draft. Even guys like Eddie Goldman, Malcolm Brown. You know,
I like Malcolm Brown.
They dropped because there weren't too many taken early. So a guy like Grady Jarrett, who I thought might be selected a little bit higher than the fifth round, first pick overall, 137, he's a gap penetrator. He's a big dude. If he's not on the field right away in Atlanta, it's only a matter of time before he is, and he's going to make a big impact for them.
Anytime a defensive guy leaves a coordinator position – and goes to a head coaching job, you expect a lot of defensive players to be drafted and to make impact. They don't miss on those guys.
Most of the time, especially like Iron Mike said, if a coach is going to come in, he's going to want guys that fit his scheme. So seeing Grady Jarrett go where he went, I don't see there being any reason why he wouldn't be playing there. They do have Paul Soli. I'm not sure. He came from Miami. He had a pretty good few seasons in Miami. Miami obviously doesn't need him if Ndamukong Suh's there, but keep an eye out on Grady Jarrett. Now we're going to move division.
We're going to go up to Minnesota in the NFC North.
Not too much to talk about here. I do like the draft that Minnesota put together. They took Trey Waynes in the first round, the highest-ranked corner in the draft coming out of Michigan State. Mike Zimmer tends to want good corners on his teams. He's shown that with a lot of the other teams that he's had. Trey Waynes, a lanky dude. He's not afraid to stick his nose into
where it doesn't belong.
Exactly. He'll get his hands dirty. He's a ball hog. He swarms the ball. Eric Kendricks was their second-round pick. You'll know his brother Michael Kendricks, the journeyman linebacker who's in Philly now. Kendricks was one of my favorite inside linebackers. He's versatile. He could play inside or outside. I think he's going to play inside in Minnesota. I think a lot of people were too low on him. He wound up dropping out of the first round, but I think he's going to make a big name for himself. And then in the third round, one of my favorite underrated players is Daniel Hunter, the defensive end from LSU. He's going to be a good player, especially pairing him up on the defensive line with Sharif Floyd, Everson Griffin. And then in the fourth round, they take offensive tackle TJ Clemmings, who is a first-round projected guy. He was dealing with some issues going through the draft process and the combine. He wound up slipping to the fourth round. And
this is an important pick because of the injury to Phil Loadholt.
Yes, because with Loadholt out for the season, Clemmings has a chance now to show why he was projected to be a first-round talent. He slipped because of the injury. I think Minnesota might have gotten a steal there. And then the last player we'll talk about is one of my favorite receivers in the draft, Stephon Diggs. Diggs is out of Maryland. He's a little small. He's 6 foot, 195. But watching him play, I would compare him to a DeSean Jackson, who is a home run type player. He can catch the ball. He can run a deep route. He can make you miss. He's going to be dynamic for them. He might have some trouble getting onto the field because you have guys like Charles Johnson, Mike Wallace, Cordero Patterson, Jarius Wright. Good guys. But if Diggs wants to break that lineup, he's going to have to impress a lot.
Next up is the Green Bay Packers. I don't know much about Demarius Randall. Hopefully you can tell me, but this is kind of confusing to me. A year after they take Clinton Dix, who is also a free safety.
Right. Now, the reason they take Demarius Randall, I think, is they have two pretty good corners, if I'm not mistaken.
Sam Shields is pretty good, and I'm pretty sure
Cam Hayward. Casey Hayward.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the thinking behind this is Randall's a pretty good cover safety, okay? They're probably going to use him in nickel packages as a nickel linebacker. He's a hard hitter. But they wanted somebody who could play man-to-man with some of the receivers in the NFL. They didn't have that nickel corner. And with his man-to-man skills, you can line him up in the box and blitz him, but still not be afraid to drop your corner into coverage against a tight end, against a running back. You know, he's the kind of guy that can make those type of plays, and I think he was the first safety taken. I'm pretty positive. I know Landon Collins was one of my highest rated safeties, and he ended up slipping into the second round to the Giants. I'm pretty sure Demarius Randall was there. But then in the second round, they go and take Quentin Rollins, a cornerback out of Miami, Ohio. I think they just want some depth at the position. And when your roster is as good as it is, as it is in Green Bay, you can take chances like this and get guys that you want, that you think you can hedge into and mold into players that you want. What seems to be a very important pick now is their third-round pick, Ty Montgomery from Stanford, who is going to take over the slot role where Davante Adams was playing, because Adams now switches into Jordy Nelson's spot. So Montgomery, I didn't look too much into his game tape when I was doing my draft coverage, but I do know that they're very high on him in Green Bay. He's not going to get old Nelson's targets. I think Adams gets a majority of those and more go to guys like Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Adams will probably see 70 to 80% of what Jordy Nelson used to see.
Right. So keep an eye out on that. They have a few other receivers there, but I don't think too much changes as far as targeting.
Aaron Rodgers is going to throw the ball to whoever he wants.
Now, this is one of my favorite picks in the whole draft. I know I talk a lot of shit about a lot of teams, but Green Bay goes out in the fifth round and they take Brett Hundley, the quarterback from UCLA. If you look at my blog, themgfootball.blogspot.com, another shameless plug there, I was pretty high on Brett Hundley. I think with the way quarterbacks are scouted and the pressure that's put on quarterbacks coming into the league now, a lot of them don't get the chance to sit back and learn. And if you take note, Mike, who was the last quarterback that Green Bay drafted that got to sit back and learn?
I think he's Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Aaron Rodgers slipped to Green Bay. I mean, he wound up still being a first-round pick.
Yeah.
By no means was Brett Hundley ever going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah, they were.
But Brett Hundley gets to sit back and learn from the best quarterback in the league right now.
Right now.
Right now.
For now.
For now. Aaron Rodgers, okay? That experience and that learning curve is going to be invaluable, especially if Green Bay plans on, you know, tailoring Hundley to be the quarterback of the future. He could be someone that they're just trying to bring in as a backup or you know, a versatile player because he moves well in the pocket, he could throw on the run, he could scramble. But I think he has a lot of similar but not equal to traits that Aaron Rodgers had coming out of college. He has a lot of work if he wants to become a quality starter in the league, but I like a lot of the stuff that he's bringing to the table. So Brett Hundley is somebody you definitely want to keep an eye out on over the next few years. He might not be a starter in Green Bay ever, but I think he could start in the league somewhere.
Let's go to Detroit next. The Detroit Lions. I really like their number two guy, Amir Abdullah, but let's talk about Laken Tomlinson.
Let's talk
first.
About, yes, the offensive guard from Duke. This was a surprise pick for me. I thought that they would definitely draft a defensive lineman, primarily a defensive tackle, after the loss of Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. I think Tomlinson was too good to pass up on, okay? He is a mauler of a run blocker, which is important because Detroit wants to be more of a balanced team this year. He's a big dude, 6'3", 323. I think opening lanes up for guys like the aforementioned Amir Abdullah and Joique Bell is going to be big for them. And having a guy like Tomlinson is a good start to put along with a pretty good offensive line. And then you'll see, like we said, Abdullah out of Nebraska in the second round. He's one of the more versatile running backs that came out of this class. He could catch the ball. He could run. He's electric. He makes plays. He makes guys miss. Watch some game tape on this kid from college. He was really good. And I'm not surprised he was, I think, the first running back taken outside of Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. So keep an eye out on him. The fourth round pick, Gabe Wright, the defensive tackle out of Auburn, like we said earlier, is one of the defensive tackles that dropped a little bit. I think he could be something good, and pairing him with Haloti Ngata, you know, who was just activated, they're obviously not Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley, but I think it's a good way to start the rebuilding process on the interior part of that line. So we're going to move on now.
Chicago.
Chicago takes Kevin White in the first round. He's on the pup, but listen, they don't want to rush him onto the field. He's going to be a great playmaker for whoever's throwing him the ball. I don't know if Jay Cutler will be there forever.
Yeah, but that pick's not going to matter this year because the Bears most likely aren't going to be relevant in that division.
Right. And Green Bay's going to clear sweep that.
Why rush him back?
Right. You also have Eddie Goldman, the defensive tackle from Florida State, one of my favorite defensive tackles in this class. Then they follow that up with two pretty good picks. I didn't really pay too much attention to this. Chicago put together a pretty good draft. In the third round, they take Ronis Grasu, a center from Oregon, who's a very smart guy. And then they follow that up by taking Jeremy Langford, who will be the inherit to the Matt Forte throne. Langford, like Le'Veon Bell, came from Michigan State. They have question marks on whether he could be a workhorse coming out of, you know, out of that Michigan offense where they just feed the ball to the running back. But Le'Veon Bell's been productive. I'm not saying that Langford will be as well, but he's somebody you want to keep your eye on.
Let's head out to Washington.
The Washington football team takes Brandon Scherff in the first round. Arguably the best lineman in the draft. He struggled in the preseason so far.
The whole line has.
Yeah, ask Robert Griffin's brain that. Listen, he's going to be a good guy. He's got to get his feet under him. They take Preston Smith from Mississippi State, another one of these pass rushers that I like that was pretty underrated. This was a deep class in the defensive end outside linebacker spots. They take Matt Jones from Florida in the third round. I think he could give Alfred Morris a push for the starting role.
I think he will. Usually stuff like that happens when, like we said earlier, you have a coach that comes in and they start bringing in their own guys, whether it's free agents or draft picks.
Right.
And Alfred Morris is a guy that was there before Gruden came.
Right. And Gruden likes to use his running backs as much as he can. And Alfred Morris is not a very good pass catcher. He can catch the ball, but he's not a very good pass catcher. Matt Jones is more of a complete deal guy. One more that I will note, Iron Mike, can you pronounce the player that they took in the fourth round with pick 13?
No.
That would be Ari Kojiwandio. I don't even know if I said it right. I just wanted to see if you would struggle with that one like I did.
Kojiwandio.
All right, so now that we had our fun, we're going to move to the next team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who take one of my favorite players in this entire draft in the first round, Nelson Agholor. I wasn't huge on him up until I really dove into his tape out of USC, and I hope he breaks the mold of shitty USC receivers to be taken in the first round. I think he can put up great numbers, especially in Philly. That offense is going to blow teams out of the water. He's going to be opposite of Jordan Matthews. I think he makes a really big difference. They take Eric.
I hope he does.
They take Eric. Yeah, I invested a lot of fantasy football picks into him. 11 leagues, yeah, that'll do it. They take Eric Rowe from Utah. He's not going to be an every down player for them. He's probably going to be a nickel or a dime corner for them. They take Jordan Hicks from Texas, a little bit of a reach there. They take take Ja'Cory Shepherd from Kansas, who unfortunately is out for the year.
They only had 6 picks in this draft and used five of them on defense,
which you can see Chip Kelly has a lot of the guys on the offense that he wants. So now he's going to start targeting to rebuild his defense. And they started that by bringing in Byron Maxwell.
Well, listen, Chip, if you ever get to read this, when you are going through your process of cuts next year, you know, consider Kendricks and maybe even trade him to the New York Jets.
Boom. You heard that from a Jets fan. We're going to move to the Giants now. One of my players that we talked about earlier was Landon Collins. He winds up being the first pick of the second round. I believe the Giants traded up to get him. And he's probably going to be an in-the-box type of guy. he's pretty athletic. I just don't think they trust his coverage skills, which is why he dropped so low in the eventually into the second round. With their first pick, they take Eric Flowers. This pick becomes important because Will Beattie tore his bicep. He might be out for the year. So Eric Flowers goes from playing right tackle to playing left tackle. You have to keep an eye on that. He's going to be on Eli's blind side. He's going to be anchoring that offensive line.
He has experience playing left tackle from Miami. He started the first four games there, and then they moved him to right tackle.
And now I'm going to struggle with another name. I've done this before, and I think I'm pretty good at it. Don't kill me because you're huge. Third-round pick out of UCLA, defensive end, Owambe Azumwa. And there's a lot of letters in there that aren't pronounced. I'm calling him 00.
Go for it.
All right, that's where we're going to leave that. He's had a pretty good preseason. He's an important player because if Jason Pierre-Paul winds up not playing or missing any time, he's the guy that comes in. He's the guy that comes in. He's had a good preseason thus far, so it's interesting to see what happens when Pierre-Paul comes back. They also took safety Mykel Thompson, I think is injured.
From your on the clock segment,
he tore his Achilles. He's one of the nine safeties that tore his Achilles, which is unfortunate. If you want to hear me go off about the Giants, make sure you listen to last week's podcast. We're gonna wrap
which
it up.
You should have already done.
We're gonna wrap it up with the Dallas Cowboys, whom we got a lot of shit for not talking too much about them last week. But we don't like talking about the off-field issues, so we didn't talk too much about Greg Hardy, who signed with Dallas in the offseason. He's going to miss a few games, but that's important because with their second-round pick, they take Randy Gregory, the outside linebacker for Nebraska. He had himself some off-the-field issues, but he is arguably the best pass rusher in this class, and he slides to pick 28. And winds up in Dallas. When they get Gregory and Hardy on the field together, this is going to be one of the best pass rushing duos in the league. They take Byron Jones, a corner from Connecticut, in the first round. I had him graded a little bit lower than that. He seems to be on his way to being a starter. Keep an eye on that. But they also end up going after the draft and selecting or signing rookie free agent Lael Collins out of LSU, who is a first round projected player. We don't talk about off the field issues, but this didn't wind up being an issue, so I will tell you what happened in case you don't know. Lael Collins was in New York City prepping to go to, or not New York City, I'm sorry, Chicago, because they moved the draft on me. He was prepping to go to the draft when he got a phone call saying that the woman who was his ex-girlfriend was shot and killed, and she was pregnant, and the baby died as well. Terrible, terrible story. But what ended up happening was Collins had to fly down to Louisiana to clear his name and stated that if he wasn't selected in the first three rounds of the draft, that he would remove his name from the draft and re-enter next year, which ended up not happening because when Dallas calls and asks you to sign, you say sure. And Dallas offered him the most money they can offer a rookie free agent. It's a two-year deal, and they also have the option to extend it after 1 year. So if he's going to be a starter for them and he does it well, a good enough job, you're going to see him re-sign after this year. I think he was one of the better offensive linemen in the draft.
And he could make an impact with Skandrick out for the year now with the ACL tear.
He's an offensive lineman, so how is he going to make an impact?
I thought you said he was a cornerback.
Oh, no.
All right. Zoned out there.
All right. Thanks for that one, Iron Mike.
And we're trying to stay on the clock here. We got
to,
you know,
we're
going to
end it up.
So
we're
going to
end it on your fuck up.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Our next episode is going to be the AFC draft recap. So if you're listening right now, you might as well just wait for the next episode to start.
Are you an MMA fan? Do you want real insider information from one of combat sports' most legendary figures? Check out Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock now at letsgetitonpodcast.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. You're on the clock with Matt Geiger, only on Ignotainment Media Network. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire Ignotainment podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the 8 Ball, and more at ignotainment.com.